Welcome to VentureCast 28. I'm Craig Severson of Grunt Media.
That's it. We're jumping right in.
We're jumping in. We're ready to go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. Then you usually say...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. And I am David Hornick from August Capital.
Yes, you
are. You just caught me by surprise.
I did? Sitting here with... So this the whole thing about setting up the microphone and setting levels and that...
That confused me.
It confused you.
Well, you know, people come in and do that every day here.
They do?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not your only media.
Well, they just do it, to make me feel comforted that it's a Craigless day, but I...
Yes.
You know.
To get you through the day.
Exactly.
I can't believe it's been 2 weeks since we recorded.
Me too. I was thinking what has happened? I mean, I assume something's happened in the last 2 weeks, but...
It seems like literally 3 days.
Yeah.
I mean, just... Yeah. Oh, that's right. I went to Vegas. And then I went to Monterey, so I did have I had two conferences.
Oh, no wonder you can't remember. You went to Vegas.
You went to Vegas.
You erased your short-term memory.
Exactly, at Blog World.
Oh yes, very interesting. So I was reading Crunch Notes. Do you know Crunch Notes? It's sort of so originally when Mike Arrington started writing TechCrunch, he would include periodic posts that weren't really product related or whatever. They were just Mike's musings about things, random things. And then he decided to do the right thing, which was to say, oh, those things don't belong on TechCrunch. And so he created this thing called Crunch Notes, which I told, you know, there are two versions of the blog. There's the pure blog, which is, hey, you know, venture blog is just venture capital.
Right.
You know, you don't, if I sneak in a reference or two to my son's music, you know, it's just in the, it's always incredibly logically in the context of venture capital.
Of course, incredibly logically.
Whereas others, you know, it's so here's, you know, here's travel and here's books and here whatever. So Mr. Aaron and I like the purity. I really
yes.
do. And so when Mike decided to keep TechCrunch pure, I thought, oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And so the thing that he created that was the alternative was Crunch Notes, where he puts random thoughts. Largely, he puts in things where he feels like someone, you know, he's pissed off at someone, and
right.
or he says like, "You're stupid," or someone calls him stupid, and then he defends himself. No, I'm not stupid. You are, you know, stuff like that.
Stuff like that.
So he was supposed to be at Blog World.
Right. Yeah.
In theory.
In theory.
In theory, right?
And
then Arrington did not come to Blog World.
Right.
And then people beat him up about it.
Right.
And then he wrote in Crunch Notes, people, I never agreed to come to Blog World, which is very interesting. And, you know, and look, Mike is not a guy who lies. He's just not. I've known him. I know him well. And he's irascible and all those things. But if he says that no one had ever got him to agree that he would show up, then he didn't.
Right.
You know, so this idea that he reneged and just didn't show up despite having been put in the program, whatever, it didn't happen. On the other hand, it doesn't matter because he's getting beaten up over the fact. And then Mike's reaction is, okay, I'm not speaking at anything anymore.
Oh.
You know, because it's too much work anyway, and people are gonna blame me if I show up or don't show up and stuff like that. Which, you know, I don't think that's the right choice, and I think ultimately he won't think that's the right choice either. But it's been very interesting. I mean, was there any discussion of this at the event or?
Yeah, well, it just and people were saying, oh, I'm gonna go hear the Arrington thing. I said, he's not here. They really? Oh, well then. And I hung out with Leo a lot. He was going to do a panel with Mike. So he was bummed because he was hoping to. I mean, he likes Mike and thought it'd be fun to be on a panel with him. So
yeah,
happens sometimes. And I didn't know the backstory. Didn't
That's
care.
That's the backstory.
Didn't matter.
It's sort of his backstory, and it's on Crunch Notes. He is fun. I mean, I will tell you that it is fun to be on a panel with him or being moderated by him because he's looking for entertainment. So like when I was on a panel with a bunch of other VCs at what was it, the Web2 Expo. You know, he basically went into lawyer mode to dissect the venture business and the venture capitalists, and it was very entertaining. I mean, it was, you know, despite being under fire, where he basically objected to my business model, et cetera. And, you know, I tried to disabuse him of all of his preconceived economics lessons, et cetera.
What's wrong with your business model?
What's wrong with my business model?
No.
Well, the big question he had for the business model was, one, is it unsustainable to continue to grow these giant funds in the name of management fees, which is the stuff we make, you know, that relates to how much money we're managing.
Right.
And then secondly, if we manage all this money, we will ultimately fail at making interesting investments, and therefore we will make no good money on the carry, which is the percentage of the money that we make.
The profit.
So right. What piece of the profit we get.
So it was your business
model. No, it wasn't August. It wasn't August in particular. It was the venture business, which mm-hmm. he felt was dying or whatever.
Mm.
And look, my feeling is the venture business should live and die by the carry, which is to say, if we make money, then no one will object to us keeping a piece of it. Right. So the problem is, to the extent that there are venture investors who are ultimately making a lot of money by virtue of managing a great deal of money and then losing it, you know, that is a black eye to the business.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's nothing, that's not new. There's nothing new that either, you know, there are people who have always made a bunch of money for investors and therefore no one's ever begrudged them whatever money they made. And there are people who have always lost them money and that has made people less happy.
Mm. Do angel investors have a management fee?
Most angel investors don't have funds.
They don't have funds. Right. They have their own funds.
Very few. They use either their own money or like angel investors or a band of angels, rather. You know, gather a group of angels. They're a collective for the information and deal flow, etc. But then when they invest individually.
Okay.
Now, that recently changed with respect to Jeff Clavier, who at the TechCrunch 40 conference announced that he had raised a fund. So up until then, he had been sort of a venture advisor and helper of startups, and he was using, to the extent he was investing his own money, and then mm-hmm. he was investing a lot of time. And then he decided to create his own fund. And in fact, I think he was ultimately urged by lots of different venture capitalists to create his own fund. And he's now affiliated with another venture fund. I'm forgetting which one, but they invested in his fund, as did others. And then he'll presumably let them see the deals that he's doing, et cetera. So now he will have a management fee on his fund, I'm sure.
So it is a venture fund. He's not an angel anymore.
No, he's a, you know, venture angel.
I don't know, maybe it's hybrid.
Institutional angel would be my guess as to how I would describe it.
Right.
He's an institutional angel now.
So just a one man band.
Yep.
And the fund's probably not as big as August's, right?
No, it's not. Right. He actually says on his thing how much it is, and mm-hmm. it's, you know, some single That's, digits.
Is it still SoftTech VC? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So he's still SoftTech VC. And then, you know, then there's the interesting, you know, look at First Round Capital,
mm-hmm.
who I do not believe have a fund, but they have a group of people, right? So it's,
they
raise money, but they do it in a, you know, on an annual basis or something. I mean, you know, I don't know what their specific structure is, but it's not my structure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's Josh Koppelman, who started it. And then there's a group of other people, Rob Hayes out mm-hmm. here and Howard Morgan. There's Chris Fralick back in New Jersey. No, they're not in Jersey. They're Jersey. In Philadelphia.
What exit?
Philadelphia.
Yes.
That's where First Round is born.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know that?
I did not. Well, yes, I knew only Rob was out here.
Yep.
On this
Rob's out here, but
part of the world.
Other guys back in Philly.
So what's their deal then? They don't have a fund.
Yeah, I don't again, I don't know how the specifics work for them, except to say that unlike Jeff, I haven't heard them announce a specific institutional fund yet. Mm-hmm. They have a set of people that are engaged in it's a more fund-like structure in terms of their organization, but they still are early stage angel investors and, you know, investing in a set of little things as opposed to a big chunk of money in some big thing.
Okay. And then in the whole evolution of things, is what comes next an incubator in terms of, or is that a totally different
thing? First comes love, then comes marriage,
mm-hmm.
then comes an incubator in the baby carriage.
Yes. Is that something like that?
It could be. I mean, there are some suggestions of that happening again.
But what does an incubator do then?
Well, the theory of an incubator is that a certain set of resources can be shared that makes it easier to start companies. So legal and finance and HR and, you know, all the thing and space and IT, all that stuff sort of sits in a central location.
Mm.
And you say, hey, I want to get going. You come to the incubator, you get some money, you get these resources to kind of help you get off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then presumably you eventually then, you know, leave the nest and launch to create your own company.
When you say get some money, you get some...
Yeah, oftentimes incubators include funding. So early kind of angel funding.
Okay.
So you get funding and resources in exchange for, equity. And
mm-hmm.
and then the assumption is then you go off and you go build a business independently and raise venture money, et cetera, and succeed.
Mm. Got it.
So that's the That's that whole thing.
So now, what about these rumors that Walter Mondale is going to join August Capitol?
Yeah. Why would you give us Fritz Mondale?
Fritz.
What?
He's Norwegian. He's got to be good.
JFK is who's joining.
Is joining no August longer Capitol. Alive.
No, actually, we were talking at our strategy meeting recently. It was actually this Monday when they announced that Kleiner had
Mr. Gore,
Al Gore joining the firm. And I was saying, gee, you know, you got Al Gore at Kleiner, then you got Bono doing this other venture firm, and that I thought maybe we should go with Madonna. You know, I understand her to be quite tech savvy.
Mm-hmm.
She has only the latest wireless microphones,
which you emulate well.
So, anyway, no, there will be no celebrities joining August Capitol in the near term.
Ah.
Sorry.
Yes, I'm disappointed.
We are. We're missing out.
Yep.
We're missing out. You know, what do you think of that? You're an entrepreneur. Does that make you more inclined to go to Kleiner to get money?
Well, Kleiner's always been Kleiner. You know, sort of the...
Floats and...
Yeah, so I think if I were a bigger entrepreneur, yeah, probably. I'd probably, like, be into the Gore thing.
Yeah.
But as a little guy, no, it doesn't make any difference. Kleiner is untouchable.
Regardless, so who cares?
Yeah, it's all abstract to me.
Well, the interesting thing about Kleiner is, unless you're doing green tech now, there's no point in talking with them because they've made a strategic decision to go do, you know, green and clean, green and clean, clean and green.
No, it makes
it sounds like a detergent. I'm not saying that Kleiner's investing in detergents.
No.
But maybe green.
Just get off your soapbox, David.
I'm
here.
But seriously.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I was reading somewhere where some guy was saying, yeah, well, you know, Web 2.0 is no longer cool. Now they're just doing green, those VCs.
That's right. Exactly.
But, you know, it's not true. No, you haven't.
No, you know what? Bring me Web 4.0.
Mm.
That's what I'm
looking
for. You're
forward thinking.
4.0.
That's what those guys down the road who are the spook agency?
Yeah.
Who are they? The investors for the CIA?
Oh, my God. InQtel. Thank you.
Yes, right.
You think that's what InQtel is doing?
Web 4.0.
Don't you think 4.0 is good? Because 4.0 is like a perfect score.
Oh, yeah.
You know, unless you went to MIT. Then you needed a 5.0.
They're always harder there.
Why? Yeah.
It's like they go to 11.
Yeah. How much louder could it be? And the answer is none.
Not at all.
How much better grades could you get? None better.
You can get 25%. Yeah, it goes that way, 25%. I always get confused.
Yeah,
you go back, you go forward.
No, that's not it. You're shuffling papers as if to say you have topics for us to discuss.
Well, I've just looked over some things.
I appreciate
that. I actually found, interestingly, that there was a lot of little media companies. This has sort of been the little media companies' fortnight.
Oh, yes?
And actually, content companies, believe it or nay.
That's true. Is this new movie production group? Is
those
that what you're
guys?
Talking about?
That's one of them. That was what are they called? I didn't print
I have
that
no
one
idea
out.
What you're talking about.
No, the movie company, the movie studio esque thing. Down
yes, in. Exactly. Started by one of the guys from Ignition Partners.
Mm-hmm.
I guess he was an EIR or something, and then he hooked up with a movie with the guy who produced a bunch of things. And it was funny, what they said was basically, look, we're going to create this smallish studio.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to produce independence. We're going to actually produce them, but we're also going to look for, we'll distribute other people's. And we want to be the Napoleon Dynamite studio.
Yes, right.
That's basically, you know, look, if you make the next Napoleon Dynamite, we want to distribute it or we want to produce it or whatever, which I can appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not bad.
I enjoyed the Napoleon Dynamite. In fact, my son, while he was briefly ill and in the hospital, we got Napoleon Dynamite and watched it twice.
Wow.
And it was really funny, although he was not, while he was in the hospital, he wasn't allowed to eat.
Oh.
And so the problem with Napoleon Dynamite
was that
there's all sorts of random food.
Snacking a go-go.
Yeah. On the other hand, it's all disgusting. So I knew that my son was really hungry because every time they showed something, he'd be like, ooh, nachos. I'd be like, oh, give me a break. If that's appealing to you, we need to get you food because that's ridiculous. You know, give me a tot.
Give me a promo.
All right. So, well, that was not where you were going, though, was it?
No, that's right. I don't care where I'm going. I'm going nowhere today. It suddenly got cloudy.
We're on the road to nowhere.
It's a Friday afternoon. We're like, ah.
daylight savings time, or is it losings time? What is it called when,
yeah,
when,
oh, you, when we it lost gets it.
Dark?
It just seems like 4 o'clock. It's like, am I too late? Is it over? Is the day over? Where is everybody?
Everybody must have gone home.
Which they have around here, you guys. Or your partners, anyway. They're never here on Fridays. These
lambasting the work ethic of the venture business.
Not necessarily ethic. It's just a presence.
Just an observation. That's right. They must all be working from home.
Yes, that's it. They're telecommuting.
Well, impressive. Craig, I can assure you, they're busily earning money for
management
RLPs.
Fees.
Oh, RLP. Oh, listen to
oh,
you.
Wow.
Oh, get that stinger off of me.
So Mahalo raised some more money.
Are you kidding me?
No.
How? Why? Did they go through their first money?
No, he just won a little backup.
A bank? How much?
20 million.
20 more million.
See?
To back up. How much did they raise the first time? 25 or something, right?
Stand by.
He's reading.
No, it's not on this report.
Say. I don't even know if they reported it, truthfully.
Yeah. No, they don't really need it, but they wanted a little backup. And then, you know, this cha-cha just got 10 million more, so you got to look out for them. Those human-powered researchers, those.
20 more million. Who'd Mahalo get their 20 million from?
Probably. Well, where was he before? Sequoia. That's right, guys.
It's the same people?
Sequoia, News Corp, CBS, PayPal, Elon. Elon
those
Musk.
Were all the people. They gave him more.
And Cuban, Mark Cuban.
Just cause for the fun of it? Like, well, here's some more money?
He's Cal Canis.
He burnt through it?
He did not burn through it.
What did he do? He used it to buy bulldog puppies?
No.
How much did those bulldog puppies cost?
No.
He flew all the way to Florida to get them.
Well, that's...
They must be expensive puppies there in Florida.
I don't think you can expense that. This is a true... He's a businessman.
Four or 6 million a puppy?
You can't expense...
That's 12 million bucks for two puppies.
Here, I don't know.
You don't think that was it?
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm going to do while we have this conversation?
What?
I'm going to go look up bulldog puppies on Mahalo.
God.
Let's see if...
I think it's a slow news week.
Let's see if he's made... Let's see if... All right.
Oh, if he has a human search...
Yeah, I want to see if he's created a search result for bulldog. I bet you he has.
Oh,
he
it's probably have. One of the first.
He must have done that because, you know, mahalo.com.
All right, I'm going to see if I have that printout of...
Yeah, what else have you got while we...
While you do
this
that?
This is fascinating radio, by the way.
Yeah, this
me
this goes along.
Me typing, mm-hmm. You... look at... Celebrity gossip is a big chunk of Mahalo. I haven't been to the homepage here
and by the
in a
way,
long time.
And Veronica's launched her show, Mahalo Daily, or
yes,
video podcast.
Yes, I watched... Did you watch the first one on...
Which is funny.
On the Tesla, right?
Oh,
did you
yes.
watch that one?
I haven't seen that one. I missed that one for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
See, that was my
there,
former client.
The, look, I know, exactly.
Nice.
Sexiest Man Alive 2007. I got distracted from bulldogs because I had to go to the page.
Would
for
you go to bulldog?
Sexiest Man Alive news.
We're losing the branching tree of your distraction.
No,
here.
Literally, Sexiest Man Alive. That's what Mahalo has brought us. Bulldog.
I'm sure it's a special kind of bulldog that he has. You just can't
say
bulldog.
Oh yes, he does. You're right. He does. It's here, but this is the one. In fact, who knows? Maybe this is his.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact: the bulldog is also referred to as the English bulldog in the United States.
Oh.
Yep.
I thought it was the French bulldog.
No, he is the English bulldog.
Hmm.
That's very nice. Mm-hmm. It's actually quite a good...
So there was a page?
Quite a large page.
Yes.
Bulldog history, trivia, and other fun stuff. Bullwrinkle.com. Did you know there was a site, Bullwrinkle?
No,
like that's... Bullwinkle, but it's Bullwrinkle.com.
Excellent.
I'm guessing that's a site about bulldogs.
I would guess
with
so.
With their wrinkly skin.
That's that Chinese dog, though.
That's the Shar-Pei.
Shar-Pei.
I'm guessing that we could, we could look at the Shar-Pei as
I think
well.
Maybe we should not.
What happens
let's
if...
Get back to, let's get back to our audience.
Okay, here. Sorry.
Giga Ohm got some more money.
Yes. Again, this is a trend. This is this weird trend. Maybe we should discuss this. This is this weird trend because Giga Ohm got money from True Ventures. Again, more money mm-hmm. from his existing investors. Now, it used to be the case, by the way, that if you... This is called an inside round. When you get money from your existing investors,
yeah,
it's called an inside round, meaning that the insiders provide the money for the round. And it used to be the case that when you did an inside round, it was an indicator that you couldn't raise money elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So an inside round was a negative indicator because it was like, oh, you went out to the marketplace. Mm. Nobody else wanted to invest, but your investors, wanted you to continue on or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's not necessarily hugely negative. I'm just saying that sometimes,
So out of desperation, the insiders say, well, we'll at least give it more money to see if it's...
We'll give you a little more money, keep the business going because we're not ready to call it quits yet.
Right.
But in both of these instances, it just doesn't feel like that. It doesn't feel like they burnt through all the money.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, we're going to close down the business or you give us money. Well, it was, You know, we're excited about what's happening and we want to continue to support it. And, you know, I've seen this in other financings, my own companies and my firm's companies, where the company is doing really well.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of interest from outsiders to fund it. On the other hand, you say, well, gee, you know, I'm pretty excited about it, too. And if it were to come to me independently, I would want to fund it. So why don't I just put more of my own money in?
Are there any such things as rights of first refusal on like first rounds, where kind of like what Charles Venture is doing with their
So almost all venture investments include some sort of right of first refusal.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't include is a right of first refusal on all of it, right?
Hmm.
What they typically do is they include a right of first refusal on your pro rata percentage of the deal. So if you own a quarter of the company and you go and raise money, it basically says, oh, you know, you get to also buy a quarter of this round as well, so that you can stay owning a quarter of the company even though we raise more money.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right?
And then the big question is sort of, how do you define a quarter? Is it, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a typical right of first refusal.
And is it typically a part of an agreement?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It's part of the financing agreements. And I actually have to get fresh on this stuff, Craig. I'm teaching it in January.
Get fresh.
Entrepreneurship and venture capital is what I'm teaching.
Are you really?
Yes.
Oh, I got to sit in on one of those classes.
Well,
maybe we'll do a show there.
It's at Harvard, so you're going to have to fly.
I'll fly to Harvard.
You can fly. You want a podcast from?
We should.
It's a law school class. It'd be pretty good to podcast my Harvard law class.
That'd be good. That'd be good.
You're on.
All right.
The week of the 7th and the week of the 14th of January, I'll be there.
I'm not going to be there on the 14th, man. Macworld, baby. You're going to miss Macworld.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's a bummer.
That is a bummer.
Do you think
they're going to do anything interesting this
week? Well, we are. The Alex at Pixel Core, we've got a podcasting thing going on.
Oh, yes.
Whole huge section. And I was even going to think you and I might have done a show there.
Well, yeah, now, that's not going to happen.
Live.
That would have been awesome.
Didn't you guess the Ada?
Yeah, we've never done live.
Yeah. Anyway. All right. We digress yet again.
But I think, you know what, here's what, have I mentioned this on VentureCast before, that I'm really hopeful that that Apple has a touchscreen MacBook?
You haven't mentioned it, but that would be nice.
I would like a touchscreen MacBook because I really like kind of the gestural stuff of the iPhone, and I think it would be great to, you know, imagine the browser on the iPhoto with the same kind of gestural zoom in, zoom out, and flip between songs, all that stuff I think would work beautifully on a laptop.
I'm already doing it. So I have a lot of fingerprints on my lap.
And nothing happens.
Nothing
right?
happens.
I agree with you.
But I did.
That is a tendency where you go, ship, 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 ship.
Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, man, useless.
I wouldn't mind. I know I'm probably the only person who would want this. But I use a tablet, as you know, a pen tablet.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind that to be a touch screen. No.
That seems like you could do that.
Yeah. Shouldn't be too hard. But it's yet another separation. But at least keep the fingerprints off. Or both. Let's have both. So you need to bone up on entrepreneurialism. You were saying.
First of all, I have to figure out what I'm teaching.
That's helpful. Especially,
so,
you know.
You write a syllabus. That's always interesting.
Because this isn't Harvard Community College we're talking about. You know.
You just might want to take this
seriously.
No,
just
that's right.
A little bit of it.
You know, it'll be very interesting to see the difference between the Stanford Business School students and the Harvard Law School students. Don't you think that
there probably won't be much difference.
Yeah, no, they'll be exactly the same, I'm sure. Unfortunately for them, I will be teaching them in the same way.
Oh.
So we'll see who reacts more negatively to this.
Well, you have homeschool advantage, at least.
Yeah.
In both places, I guess. But
yeah. No,
but, I mean, you're an East Coaster, so they might get you.
All right. Well, we'll see. I'll let you know.
Yep. Or I might be there.
All right. Yeah, the week of the 7th.
Okay. On Network's got money. Do you know On Network's?
No, talk to me.
I know them because my good colleagues produce shows for them. And they're a company out of Austin that's doing high definition programming online.
All right. Online high def.
Online high def, high quality stuff.
Yep.
Like a Series B of 12 million, which is very cool. So again, it's just like the more and more of these companies that are content based starting to get. I don't think it's related to the writer's strike. I really don't. That would be too trendoid. It's really about infrastructure's kind of.
It can't happen that quickly.
Yeah.
It really can. But this is actually interesting, and given these particular investments and whatever. I had a conversation today with a gentleman at HBO. So he's looking at HBO Digital and thinking about how, you know, what to do about HBO. And the problem HBO has in a different way from, say, NBC going interactive or CBS going interactive is that you know, their stuff is already paid, is for pay, right? You subscribe to it.
Yeah.
Right. So for a CBS, like, okay, well, we get paid by advertising on the television. Now we'll do hyper distribution and it'll be somewhere else and we'll get paid on advertising. Yeah. But for HBO to open it up online, you know, talk about a problem, a challenge for their online subscription business. So,
means you get paid on it or what?
Well, yeah, maybe you could create an online subscription business, right?
Yeah, people have done it.
We were talking about this. So, yeah. You know, we're chatting about and this gentleman asked me, so, you know, do you see any analogous businesses, et cetera? And so I started thinking about it, right? We had the New York Times and Wall Street Journal. They were paid for content. Well, New York Times isn't. Wall Street Journal, it looks like it's probably going away.
Rupert's been using that. Yeah.
So now we got Zagat's still. Mm-hmm. Still have to pay for Zagat. I don't know why they did that. They had a huge opportunity to use that as a lever to become TripAdvisor or one of these other bigger and more interesting businesses, but instead they've held steady to this little stream of money.
Is it little? Do you know?
Relatively little. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're not talking about hundreds of millions of dollars.
Oh, okay.
And then Consumer Reports, which is another one that has steadily held. I remember when I was out, when I had babies and I needed the latest stuff on car seats or whatever. Mm-hmm. I certainly didn't go to a store and buy the car seat, the baby guide. So I have to go online and I'd have to buy my subscription to Consumer Reports online and all that.
The $2.
Right. So what? But yeah, you forget to stop it. And then
I did.
And then it's six, right?
I know. I did the same thing with Consumer Reports.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, months go by, which is part of the...
Yeah, that's part of their model.
But then it's busy. It's also them, and I didn't really mind.
Yes, yes.
I liked giving them money.
So, but I did come up with a business.
You did.
An extraordinarily analogous business.
You heard it here first.
And what do you suppose that was, Craig?
Online micropayments. Dun, 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 dun.
The adult entertainment business.
Oh, you know you can make money at that.
Where is all of this subscription revenue in the online world coming from? You know, like by a huge percentage, it's the online adult business.
Mm-hmm.
So then we had this very interesting conversation about what were the causes of that? Was it because there were fewer distribution channels and therefore you could charge for it? Or was it uniquely compelling, you know, or
immediacy.
Whatever? Right. So that I thought that was pretty interesting, interesting conversation. Then it got me to musing and, you know, you're not supposed to muse about the adult business.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not. I wasn't really. Let's just pretend I wasn't.
Okay, you were not.
But if I had been, I then thought about this question, which is, you know, there's a whole hullabaloo, right, about how is YouTube affecting the professional content business as things are illegally migrating onto YouTube and it's not really as a distribution system. For other places, it's really about keeping traffic on YouTube, et cetera.
Right.
So I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but there's a thing called PornoTube.
Yeah, I've heard
of
it.
So this thing, PornoTube. And so how is it? Is it impacting? Do you think, you know, we don't have any statistics. I get lots of statistics about the non-adult world. And yet, you know, the adult world is a huge innovator in the online world. And they're usually first. They're usually best at it.
Right. In media in general. I mean, we talk about it regularly on This Week in Media, my new media show. We're always, believe it or not, we're always talking about porn, the porn industry.
I believe it, Craig. Every time I talk to you, it's about
right.
porn.
That's absurd. I know. I got to stop. But they are a harbinger of, you know, methods. They were, you know, VHS is here because of them. And
yep. No, all sorts of formats.
Yeah. So it's always interesting to see kind of what's happening on that front.
So anyway, I recommended to the guy from HBO that he should spend some time with the adult industry, which, by the way, you're supposed to call it the adult entertainment industry, or apparently they now prefer the entertainment industry.
They are part of the entertainment industry.
They prefer that you describe it as, talk about, oh, yeah, we service the entertainment industry.
Mm.
And cut out the adult.
Yeah.
Right. Not porn, Craig.
No, not prawn.
Because that's derogatory.
Mm.
And, you know, they got to make a living like anyone else.
On that derogatory note, I highly commend people to go to The Onion and see a recent report they had on the entertainment industry, the one of which we are describing.
Oh, okay.
It's a few weeks ago. It's a news report they did. It is absolutely hilarious. It's not for your children.
Yeah, skip the children.
But it is unbelievably funny.
All right.
Almost as funny as the...
duly noted.
Congress trying to pass a law where universities have to enforce illegal P2P downloads or...
is that right? That we'll have to act independently and be sure to stop ill-behaved students?
Mm-hmm. Or they won't get federal funding for student loans.
Yeah, you know what?
Have you heard about this bill? I mean, it's a part of a big education bill. It is unbelievable. Unbelievable that, and it, you know, it's buried in page 463 out of 700, but it's like, you know, universities now shall become the cops for
the enforcement agency for the RIAA.
Right. And if not, then the federal government will pull your,
how do you think that ended up in the bill?
I wonder. Some people who went to the lobby, some lobbyist.
It's crazy madness.
And unfortunately we were all up in arms about it. Past couple days, and then heard again today that it's now got through committee. It is
Craig.
Can't.
You're not in college anymore. So why do you care?
Yeah, that's right. Yes. 39 minutes and counting.
You know, this is. I think it's a slow news day. Unless you got something good.
I got something boring.
Oh yeah, well, let's do that one then.
I don't know if it's boring. Actually, I haven't read it enough to know. But IBM. Well, no, I know.
This is your preparation. You print things that you haven't read and that may be boring.
Well, they're boring because I can't comment on it yet.
All right. What's the...
But it's an interesting report that I want to read.
Yes.
That IBM Media and Entertainment did a survey about advertising.
IBM Media and Entertainment. Isn't that an oxymoronic statement?
No. Why? IBM, they're cool now.
Oh.
They're hip. They're cool. They're doing a lot of cool studies.
Right, my bad.
No, they're really doing great. Basically, they're saying advertising is being flipped on its head.
You don't know. You didn't read it.
Well, I don't.
Come back. In 2 weeks, we expect a report on that study.
Yes, sir.
Jeez.
But
that's my feeling.
Basically, when I skimmed it, this was all the stuff that I said before. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
I'm a genius that way. Years ago, you heard it here
you
second.
You always knew it to be the case.
Yep. It's all the times.
Oh, wait. I have some interesting stuff.
Good. Blowtorch was the name of that studio, by the way.
What's that?
Blowtorch was the name of that studio.
Blowtorch. Thank you.
Hollywood studio.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, I got to chat with some of the Akamai guys yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just talking about kind of the things that Akamai's doing and the Akamai world, etc. And listen to this. These guys say that their edge network touches every web user in this country every day.
Mm.
Every day their web touches every, and that every web user in the world touches their system at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
And they also told me something, how much traffic they have, and the traffic is just crazy. I'll have to see if I can find that while we chat here.
For those of you who don't know, Akamai is known as a CDN.
Oh yes,
content delivery network. So they spit files out quite aggressively.
That's your assessment, is it?
That's my you know, quick and down and dirty definition.
Where are this? I'm in the wrong thing here because I just found a piece of music.
So when we praise CacheFly, that is our CDN, which could be considered a competitor to Akamai, just like an ant would be considered an animal compared to an elephant.
Yeah, right, exactly. It is a competitor in a little vertical.
Yeah.
But, but it's Akamai, a challenge.
Akamai is the engine behind...
Here it is. Oh, here's the other...
The iTunes store, right?
Okay, here's the other one. Okay, I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
240 million unique IP addresses a day.
Mm-hmm.
240 million unique IP addresses a day. How many hits a day to the Akamai CDN? How many pages are requested from their network in a day? 2 billion is your. If I told you higher, what would you say?
I would say 2.1 billion.
I would say 300 billion hits a day.
Wow.
Holy cow.
Wow.
Isn't that cool? I thought that was amazing.
It is amazing. How do you even calculate that?
Yeah, 300 billion. And they were talking about how busy, you know, it's a whole lot of data, et cetera. And you know what I told them? They needed Splunk.
Yes.
That's what I told them. Because you know what a good VC should always do?
Is pitch your
portfolio companies. In this instance, actually, they really do need Splunk. Yeah. But I mean, I was shamelessly pitching it anyway.
That's all right.
$300 billion. I think that's really just incredibly cool. So here's the other interesting thing, right, about the Akamai CDN. Now I'm like a commercial for Akamai. Brought to you by Akamai.
No, it's not.
It's not. You're right. Sorry. Brought to you by CashFly, not to be confused with Akamai. I said it was like a commercial.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
So because they got going at the outset of the sort of formation of the web and the web experience, or whatever, they were able to co-locate their servers, their cache, their, you know, edge servers with ISPs. So they're literally living in and among the ISPs at the edge, as opposed to some of these later entrants to the market that have had to create server farms at the edge, but that are a hop away from the particular ISPs where you live as an end user. And so it gives them this interesting advantage by being specifically built into the edge of these service providers.
Interesting.
I wasn't aware of that distinction. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, ultimately how much an additional hop makes a huge difference, except, you know, from an infrastructure cost and management and all that stuff, it seems like a lucky position to be in.
Yes.
So
lucky because they were early.
Well, it was smart, you know, lucky to be smart, smart to be lucky.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was cool. So I got to meet with Akamai, got to hang out with talk with the HBO person.
Mm-hmm.
I was chatting with the guy, digital media guy from Turner Broadcasting.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing all sorts of cool stuff. He's been in the interactive TV and then digital space for a long time and just a really smart guy. And it's interesting to hear them thinking about how to deal with more broadly with their content. And we had this very interesting conversation about whether Turner was going to do this hyper distribution stuff that that Quincy Smith over at CBS Interactive has been, you know, thinking. I guess they're not CBS Interactive. What are they? It's NBC Interactive and it's CBS Digital.
CBS Digital.
So it's NBCI.
Oh, okay.
CBSD.
Right.
NBCI, CBSD. It's all about brand, Craig.
Yeah, that's right.
You gotta keep track of these things. But anyway, Quincy Smith, who is an incredibly well-respected guy, the number of superlatives I use in any given VentureCast is astonishing.
And it's unbelievably, incredibly overwhelming.
Fabulous.
Amazing. And I edit half of them too.
Yeah,
right. Take them out.
Do you really?
Here's another superlative. I got a whole bucket full of superlatives just laying around in my studio.
You know what we should do?
Hmm.
We should do a new Schoolhouse Rock on superlatives. superlatives. They make your sentences more flowery.
Amazing. Whoa.
Where were we even? Anyway, whatever. We were talking about Kevin Cohen from Turner about, you know, whether he viewed hyper distribution, this idea of getting Turner's content out into the world and monetizing it outside of the Turner world, or whether he would and that's what Quincy Smith is doing clearly with CBS Digital,
right.
Or maintain
a walled garden NBC.
Yeah, well, yeah. Whether it's a walled garden or just a destination, right? Does it still make sense to have a destination? And if so, how do you get people to your destination? And so it's just a different philosophy. And I think there's going to be lots of experimentation in the big media companies that have a lot of compelling content, but they don't necessarily have a lot of traffic on their particular sites to how best put to use this great traffic.
I agree.
Content. And
Adobe Media Player will be an interesting part of that. That's coming soon to a
computer near you.
Mm-hmm. Where they are like iTunes in a way that there's a directory where large networks sit side by side with small networks. There's something with the Adobe Media Player interface that makes it interesting and kind of puts it on this more even level. I think it could represent an interesting cross-pollination amongst the amateur or the, you know, the small networks like me and the big networks like them. So
yep.
We'll see.
That's interesting. So in the conversation with the Akamai guys, they had a slide of the players, the end players, and they showed, you know, Windows Media Player, and they showed Flash, and they showed, but then they also showed Real networks, and then they had QuickTime.
Yeah.
And so I asked sort of, you know, so which are the predominant players, and is anyone actually using Real still as a player format? And
nope.
You know, there's like one publisher that's using Real as
just because they had a long contract. They can't wait to get out of it.
Exactly. But it was interesting. I mean, QuickTime, they said, other than the fact that Apple's gaining market share, and therefore there's a little more QuickTime. You know, QuickTime is a pretty small format compared to Windows Media. Windows Media is just massive. And then Flash, obviously,
96%.
Has become this massive, you know, behemoth in the space, which we were laughing about the fact that in, you know, 95 or 97 or whatever, can you imagine saying, oh, yeah, you know, it's going to be the predominant video delivery platform, Flash, because you can make stick figures dance.
Yeah, right, exactly. Flash? That's not video.
Flash is for, you know, bad online greeting
exactly.
cards.
Exactly. No, I know. That's what we've been telling Apple for a long time. You can't, you guys.
But you know what I did find out, which I thought was interesting? They said that QuickTime was a really great delivery platform for mobile. Did you know that? You did?
Of course.
Oh, that's right. You're a video guy.
Yeah, and I'm a QuickTime
So you're a big fan of QuickTime. So apparently it's just, it's a less hoggy kind of protocol for video delivery to the handset.
Right. And yes, it is indeed. And a little
Here
more flexible.
Ends the technical minute of VentureCast. Technical minute. Well, no, you were going to say something more about it. What?
No, I wasn't.
All right, good.
I was going to say
that
more.
That was the end of the technical minute. So please.
Yeah, the technical minutes, indeed. Now, you reminded me that when I was at Blogworld, I met two interesting companies. One was GIMP TV, G-I-M-P.
Yep.
And this is another content play. And these guys are, I mean, I had a chance to sit with them and actually look at what they're doing. And they're really cool. They really get it.
Yep.
And you know, they produce content as well as distribute it. So they're ones to watch, in my opinion. They're just
GIMP, all right,
yeah,
cool.
GIMP.tv.
Yep.
Another company, which I'm not going to mention their name.
Yeah, please don't.
Because
adult industry.
No. Because they asked me not to.
Oh,
because
all right.
They're kind of, that's nice. Even though they sort of made an announcement there, so it's sort of weird, but anyway.
But they're still stealthy.
So kind of, they didn't want too much traffic. Is basically
who would.
Yeah.
You know what I don't want when I'm an online media company?
Traffic. Well, because it's in beta. But safe to say, as a teaser, this was the thing. This thing blew my mind. Like I was walking around in a daze for hours.
Your mind had been blown.
It had been blown. I had to scatter around and pick up parts.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Really wacky. Like, unbelievably, like, how can you do that kind of thing? So
this is a little bit like our discussion of the lobby. It's like, oh, yeah, it's good fun. The things happen.
Yeah, okay.
It's really cool. It blew my mind.
Yeah, it was
great. You got to see that thing, and whenever we let you see it.
Exactly. So I promise, once it's past that stage, then we will talk about it. It's cool.
So you're going to have to cut this part that I'm about to tell you because it's not for public consumption, but guess who I'm meeting with on Monday?
Who? We're back on the record.
Do we have a transition? I don't have a transition. So, hey,
Craig. Yes.
Never mind. We're not going to do that.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about that.
I think we're done.
We got nothing left. We're out. We're all out.
Oh, yeah.
It's good. It's late. It's Friday, and
it's
as
dark.
You said, it's dark.
We'll see you in 2 weeks. Thanks for Akamai for being big, and thank you for CashFly for actually paying for our bandwidth. And being such a great content delivery network.
There you go.
Are.
Exactly. Because you know what? Sometimes the vertical is able to focus on the important needs of a market.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Those
Save
of
that
you
for
entrepreneurs
Harvard,
out there listening, exactly. This is my business school teachifying. Verticals can be focused markets where you can provide additional value to the vertical and therefore beat a larger incumbent in that particular vertical by virtue of focusing on the verticalness of the vertical.
Because you create another power curve.
See what I'm saying?
Within that little vertical.
Oh, no. Don't be trying to sneak in
more math?
Finance.
It's not finance. This is math. This is phenomenon.
See? Look at this. You thought we were done, and then we gave you this little tidbit of edufying.
All right, we'll say goodbye now.
Goodbye now.
We may never settle the question of which comes first, the chicken or the egg, the acorn or the oak. But the proof is clear that where a community, state, or nation courageously invests a substantial share of its resources in education, the investment invariably is returned in better business and a higher standard of living. This we do know. Good education is good business.